You're listening to The Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Helms on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. Join the conversation live. Our phone lines are open, 732-545-9282. That's 732-545-WCTC.
Welcome back to The Garden Show. I'm Peggy Ballester-Howells. I'm here with...
David, good morning. Happy New Year.
I'm here with David today. Jared will be back next week, but it's always fun to have Dave join us. So we're going to go to Metuchen and say good morning to Danny. Hey, Danny girl.
Good morning. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I'm good. My daughter made New Year's dinner yesterday, so that was fun. We went... She and her beau and her beau's twin brother and his girlfriend and their dad were all at my house in Ocean Grove. So I got invited to my house for dinner, which was kind of fun. And we had a lovely time. So I didn't have to cook. How do you like that?
That's the best part, right?
That was the best part. I did make a last minute dessert. She had forgotten dessert. So I made a family favorite, quick and easy, butterscotch pudding with real whipped cream. So that turned out pretty well, and that was good. So I had a great day yesterday. So what can I do for you today?
I had just sent you a picture.
Oh, of your jade plant?
Giant. Yes, my giant jade plant.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. And it has been in the same spot since you helped me repotted it.
Yeah, that was fun.
And if you take a closer look, the lower leaves are turning almost like a purplish color.
Yeah, I noticed that in the picture.
Right.
Do they seem nice and sturdy?
Yeah, they look... You know, they look fine. They feel fine. And I'm just wondering, is it because the temperature?
Could be.
It's in that sunroom, and right now it's, at night it's kept at 40 degrees, so it's never gone below 40 degrees. Or is it too much sun?
Well, I don't think it would be. I don't think you can give a plant in New Jersey too much sun and at this time of year. So I don't think it's that. And if it was that, I think it would show up on all the tips as opposed to the older growth, because that's what gets the most sun. The inner growth is kind of shaded by itself. So if
right.
it's too much sun, you would see that kind of damage on the surface of, the tips where it was most exposed. I have to admit, Danny, I've never seen this look like this, but I've never seen a jade plant look like this before. So I can't tell you, but my guess would be that it's temperature related because that is cold. 40 degrees is cold for a jade plant. But it may be able to withstand that, and it may perk up again come spring. There are other plants that get that kind of color in the wintertime. Arborvitaes turn kind of a goldy color in the wintertime, but they turn green again in the spring. So I'm wondering if I had to make a guess, I would say it's probably temperature related. As long as they're not falling off, I would hold off and see what happens.
Actually, they will probably get moved into the inside the house pretty soon because as the temperature going to get down lower and the holiday is over, we might take down my Christmas tree and just close up my sunroom for the season. So they have to be all migrating inside of my house. That would be my biggest headache to find a suitable large enough spot
for that plant.
Beautiful day.
Yeah. You got a problem there. That's a big plant.
Yes.
That took the two of us to transplant that thing.
Yes.
So Yeah, you got a problem there. And even moving it, you know, I mean, we're talking to Michael earlier, and his very old, must be magnificent if it's spread to more than one pot, jade plant is dropping the occasional branch. They are brittle, and if you bump them, they will fall off. So trying to move that thing is you know, risky at all. So the important thing
right now, it's on a coaster, like it has wheels.
Yes.
So as long as we can move one, you know, just lift it up into the house, I can roll it around to find a permanent spot for
it. Just the only suggestion is make sure you've got the area really clear before you go to move the pot. If you need to put some plants close up to it after it's situated in its new spot, you can do that if you have to, but you don't want to have to maneuver it at all in the process of moving it, because you will definitely end up bumping that baby.
Yes.
But maybe after you bring it in, be really careful with the watering after you bring it in, because it's going to be another period of transition.
Yes.
And
yes.
Often plants during a period of transition go into a period of shock a little bit and aren't doing a lot of active growing, and you don't want to overwater it during that period. That's the thing you have to watch out for. So just keep a real close eye. And I want to know if those leaves turn green again.
Yes, I will keep you posted and give you update and maybe send you photos.
Okay,
that sounds
good. But I mean, it looks really cool with all of the tips being their typical bright green, and and a lot of the inner foliage looks almost purple. It looks like a brownish purple, which is kind of cool looking. But I am, you know, ever so slightly concerned. If it starts dropping leaves, let me know right away, okay?
Okay.
All right?
Sure.
Yeah, I would say my money would be on that it's the cooler weather.
Temperature. Yeah, that's what I think. It happened gradually. It wasn't just like overnight, but the plant itself still looks very robust. So I wasn't too concerned until I heard Michael talking about the jade plant. I'm like, maybe I should just, you know, talk to Peggy about this.
Well, so. I'm glad that you called. It is really cool looking for sure. So, but keep me posted. And again, you know, just you know, a little extra. Get your hubby to help you move it, because that plant's heavy.
Yes, I would do so.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Okay.
All right. Happy New Year. Hugs all around. I will talk to you soon.
Yes. Bye-bye. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye now. Okay, I'm going to give the phone number, 545-9282. Outside the 732 area code, it's 1-888-545-9282. For if you noticed, we didn't do our sports segment this week because Jared's not here, and we always do that together. He'll be back next week. But just to throw a little sports something in, have any of you seen, I thought this was hysterical, the new stamps that are available, the postage stamps? There is a set of postage stamps available that talk about backyard games. And on the postage stamps very much cover all of the things we have been talking about. They're stamps called backyard games, and there's horseshoes and bocce and frisbee and there's a badminton, and there's a cornhole. All the things that we've been talking about are now on stamps. There's one that I'm not 100% sure what it is. I think I know what it is. I think it's running bases. We haven't done running bases yet, but if you get out to see those stamps, I thought it was really, really interesting that these stamps have come out just as we're doing backyard sports as part of the sports segment. So if you get to the post office, you may want to take a peek and see if they have any of those back. They call them backyard games, and exactly what we've been covering here.
Peter Metuchen on the phone.
And so we're going to go to Metuchen again. Big time in Metuchen,
yes.
and say a happy new year to Peter. How you doing, Peter?
Good morning. Happy new year to you.
Good. Great. Thank you.
I have a plant, a Sabby Star Sahara Desert Gemini Rose.
Okay.
I got it. It was like in a four 4-inch pot, but now it's 28 inches high and it's never flowered.
A desert rose we're talking about, right?
Right.
Oh, well, they are really cool looking plants, even if they've never bloomed. So they have that thick kind of trunk that goes into the roots and then a lot of little green leaves for those people who don't know what they look like. I have one. Mine is kind of a yellow with kind of rose-colored streaks in it, which is really fun. And I got mine at a very strange place. Have you ever gone to any of those stores called Restore?
No, I haven't.
Have you ever heard of them?
No.
Okay, well, Restore is part of Habitat for Humanity.
And
it's like a thrift store, but they have all kinds of building supplies as well as, you know, furniture and that kind of thing. And in the spring, every spring, late spring, somebody donates a ton of plants to them. And most of them are too far gone and they're like vegetable plants and that kind of thing. But among all of these straggly plants was one desert rose. I don't know how that happened, but I grabbed it. And so that's where I got mine from. And Danny, who I was just on the phone with, she has one or two, and they are tricky. Now, mine is in my greenhouse, and it blooms pretty regularly for me. I think that it might benefit from some cooler night temperatures.
Right.
So is yours in your house?
It's in a house, and it's in a big picture window.
Okay.
Westward bound.
Okay, so does the plant look healthy?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Okay, okay.
It's green. It has three sprouts, and the main sprout is, like I said, 28 inches high.
Okay, and it has lots of leaves? Looks really...
Lots of leaves, yes.
Okay, all right, so it sounds good. I'm wondering, how often do you fertilize it?
Not evidently enough.
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Do you fertilize it at all?
Yeah, but once a year only.
Okay. And what kind of fertilizer do you use?
A liquid house plant fertilizer.
Okay. When you fertilize it, make sure that you do not use a fertilizer for flowering plants. That's important.
Okay.
And the reason for that is that... flowering, if you have too much nitrogen, it inhibits flower formation. So you just want to make sure that that you don't have so much nitrogen that it prevents flowering.
What I have been using is the Miracle-Gro.
Okay, but there is Miracle-Gro for flowering plants.
Flowering,
right?
Okay.
So you want to see if you can get that because that could make a difference. Okay, now let's see. I did a little bit of quick research. It does not want to be below 50 degrees. Now, my greenhouse, I keep it at 55, but you still may want to put it in a place where it's a little bit cooler at night. How warm do you keep your house?
65 in the evening, 60, 65.
Okay. All right, then that's probably okay. So... and how much sun does it get? Does it get a lot of sun?
Yeah, it faces west, and it's in a big window that any sun that's going to get it, it's going to get it.
Okay. All right. So let me do a little more research on why yours is not flowering, because it sounds like everything you're doing, it should bloom. So we're going to take a little break right after this because it's time for me to take a break. And let me see if I can't find something for you to trick it into blooming. Okay? So can you just state...
Before you go, how often do you fertilize it?
Well, see, I fertilize mine maybe 5 or 6 times a year.
Okay.
Okay, I do it maybe 5 or 6 times a year during the growing season, not at this time.
Yeah.
But I do use for flowering plants. I do use that kind of fertilizer. In fact, I use a liquid fertilizer that's attached to the end of my hose. That's how I usually fertilize it. But it's a very dilute solution when I do fertilize it. So not a lot, kind of a slow feed instead of. And it likes being in the greenhouse in the summertime. That's usually when it flowers, when it gets really warm, because it is a very tropical plant. So it likes the warmer temperatures.
So, well, this has always been a house plant.
Right.
If you have to break, it's all right.
Okay. So let's take a little break, and let me see if we can find out something to trick it. So just stay tuned to the station.
And, I will definitely every Sunday.
Oh, how sweet. Thank you. But I will try to, as soon as we get back from the break, try to have something to maybe trick that guy into giving you some flowers, okay?
Okay. Thank you for your help.
Yeah, my pleasure. All right. And let me give the phone number, 545. 9282 outside the 732 area code. It's 1-888-545-9282, and we will be back after this.
Hi, I'm Todd Frazier. You may know me from Major League Baseball, the 1998 Toms River Little League World Series champion team, or most recently, the 2020 Olympics. But I'm also a dad to three amazing kids. That's why I support Children's Specialized Hospital, one of the world's best pediatric specialized hospitals that happens to be right here in New Jersey. Today, I invite you to join me on a mission to make a difference for New Jersey's kids by making a donation at give2csh.org now. That's give2csh.org. Together, we can help more children get the life-changing care they need. Please give today.
More than 34 million people in the United States have diabetes. 7 million go undiagnosed. When left untreated, diabetes can lead to potential complications that include heart disease, stroke, kidney damage, and nerve damage. You can prevent or delay the diagnosis of diabetes by maintaining a healthy weight, a balanced diet, and physical activity. Consult with your doctor today and see if you're at risk. St. Peter's University Hospital, safely treating you better for life.
Hi, I'm Albert Pujols.
And I'm Deidre Pujols.
And we made it our mission to strike out slavery.
Did you know that millions of people, many who are in vulnerable populations, are caught in this nightmare of violence, fraud, and coercion? And during a crisis like the pandemic, even more innocent people are at risk of falling victim to human trafficking.
Sometimes we all take true freedom for granted. Freedom to live our life.
The freedom to pursue our dreams.
The freedom to watch and play baseball.
But for far too many, basic freedom has been torn away, often violently, and often targeting those most vulnerable among us.
That's why we made it our mission to strike out slavery.
And we're sending out an SOS, because freedom is worth fighting for.
Join us. Join baseball fans. Join the fight against human trafficking. Go to strikeoutslavery.com.
And now the Fox Sports New Jersey weather forecast. A cloudy, damp start this morning with areas of fog, and we will have a few showers today, but very mild, 55 to 60. The showers end by evening, then turning much colder overnight, 25 to 30. Maybe a few flurries Monday morning, otherwise partly to mostly sunny and colder, only 30 to 35. I'm WeatherWorks meteorologist John Leo on Fox Sports New Jersey.
You're listening to The Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports New Jersey. Join the conversation live. Our phone lines are open. 732-545-9282. That's 732-545-WCTC.
Garden Show. I'm Peggy Ballester-Howells, and I did a little quick digging and found some good stuff. The desert rose, botanical name of desert rose is Adenium, and Adenium obesum, and they are amazing plants. They could live for centuries, actually. The only way to really kill them is to overwater them. They don't like that at all. Now, our friend with this desert rose, he says he's had it for a while and the plant is 2 feet tall. What he didn't say was how long it's been in the same pot. And I wonder if it needs to be repotted. You would only go one pot size larger. One of the important things is to repot it when it's very dry. You don't want to pot it after it's been watered. You want the pot to pull away from the soil. So so that it comes out of the pot easily, and you can shake off a little bit of the old soil and then repot it with fresh potting soil in one pot size larger. And what was interesting was it was not recommended to water it right after you transplant it. It was like, let it settle in its new spot for a little bit, and then after a few days, then water it. You don't want too many changes. So I thought that was kind of interesting because that's slightly counterintuitive. But so that's one thing. The other thing is that it was it needs 6 hours of sun every day. So in order to produce flowers, it needs that much light. It definitely requires a fair amount of sun. You can force them into dormancy to overwinter them, but since this plant always lives inside, that's absolutely not necessary. You can fertilize more often. Now, what was recommended here was to fertilize once a month during spring and summer. So not now. And I don't recommend fertilizing until mid to late February. There's always that day in February when you become aware that the sun feels stronger. And that's when I would start fertilizing. So you do want to use a dilute solution of fertilizer once a month. And for flowering plants, because, again, you don't want so much nitrogen that it inhibits flower formation. The only way to really kill this thing is to overwater it. You can let it go dry. So if in doubt, let it go dry. But the plant itself seemed to be quite healthy, according to everything that we talked about. So that really should not be the problem. But maybe the lack of fertilizer. I'm not sure if it gets 5 or 6 hours of sun. It's facing west, which means it gets afternoon sun, but that maybe not enough sun could be a contributing factor. Maybe you would want to move it outside to a sunnier location when the weather gets nicer. That might help it to come into bloom. When you do that, you do have to be careful that you make the transition gradually, because that can be, and it's not so hard when you're moving it out in the spring, because the weather is almost ideal and the days continue to get longer and the weather is good. The thing you have to be really careful, if you choose to put it outside to encourage it to bloom, is moving it back in the fall. That's the tricky part, because the transition is just as traumatic, except now the recovery from the transition is under indoor winter conditions. So the adjustment is really tough. You can do it, and as long as you do it gradually and make the adjustment and the changes, you know, move it from a sunny location outside to a less sunny location outside to a shady location outside to the inside window. If you do it gradually and let the plant get used to it, you can minimize the shock that it goes into. But if you really want it to bloom, it sounds like it may just need more sun. So those would be my suggestions. Consider putting it in a bigger pot. But I wouldn't do that now either. Again, you would do all that around the same time, early spring, late winter, early spring. As the days are noticeably getting longer and the sun is getting stronger, you could move it into a bigger pot, wait a little while to get it watered, then begin to fertilize it once a month. You should be okay. All right, that would be my suggestion. All right, let me give the phone number again, 545-9282, outside the 732 area code. It's 1-888-545-9282.
And Milltown.
Okay, we're going to go over to Milltown. Say good morning to, is this Anne Marie?
It is. Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. How are you?
I'm good. I want to go back to that Montauk daisy you were speaking of earlier. Two things. One, I have one. I don't have to worry about it getting bigger. The deer come, as soon as there's a green shadow, they eat it.
Oh,
it's terrible.
Well, that might be a problem if I decide to put it in the cemetery, because the deer live in the back.
Well, my thought exactly, but if you've got one to spare, you might try one or two and see if it becomes deer food. That would encourage them to come closer to your residence, which would be a very bad thing.
Yes, that would be a very bad thing. That would be a very bad thing.
Just think about that. But can they be pruned? We have one at our parish. It has to be, at this point, 12 foot across. It's going on the sidewalk, actually.
Well, certainly you can cut it back to.
Yeah, okay.
You know, you can cut it back in the spring because it'll re-sprout from the ground. You want to do that, cut it way back. But if it's getting too big, you might also want to thin it.
Well, not my yard exactly, and if I make it unsightly in my yard, then only I have to say mea culpa, but it really needs a bit of a pruning, and I will speak to the pastor about giving it a little haircut, maybe.
Well, you know, if it's... The idea, eventually, you want to dig it out and reset it, you know, with the healthy new growth and with a little more space for it to spread again, because it'll get so crowded. They can get so massive and so crowded that they don't bloom. So, you know, they need to be perennials, you know, come back every year, but that doesn't mean they aren't any work. Sometimes they need to be divided. And it sounds like that's where you're at, that plant, if it's that big and it's growing over onto the sidewalk, that you need to dig it out and replant it a little further back with a little more room to grow. That's what it sounds like to me.
I think it's thriving on neglect because it still blooms. It's magnificent. But, you know, our prior pastor, God rest his soul, was quite the gardener. So it's in there probably 15 years or more, you know, and it's, you know, it just kind of filled the space and it was nice. And I don't know, the last 5 years, it's gone berserk.
Well, probably all the rain, you know,
whatever. It's a happy plant. It's just way too big for the space it's in. And, you know, as I say, I would be the one to approach the pastor and say, could I clip it back? He usually says yes to whatever I ask, but I don't want to be the one that kills it.
No, you can't kill a Montauk daisy.
Obviously, because this poor plant tries to come up every year, and every year they jump the fence in the corner and they chew it off.
Well, you know, the other thing about Montauk daisies as opposed to Shasta daisies, the Montauk daisies get very woody at the base.
Mm.
And they tend to snap at the base if you don't divide them and start some new fresh plants.
Okay. So when I divide it, it's going to divide and I'm going to have a root, or I'm going to have to root it?
No, you should be able to divide it. The other thing about Montauk daisies, which is really kind of interesting, as opposed to the Shasta daisy is more herbaceous and the Montauk daisy is a little bit more woody, is many years ago, back when I lived in New Brunswick, before the farm, a long time ago, Warner Thurlow, who was my predecessor and my friend and my boss, he was all kinds of things to me, showed up and handed me a newspaper wrapped around a big bundle of Montauk daisies that he had cut back. And this was in the fall. And he just gave me this bundle of green ones. He said, stick them in the ground. So I stuck them in the ground. And a whole bunch of them. And in the spring, about half of them had rooted and just came up.
Oh, see, that was a nice gift.
Yes. And I moved the one that I had, one of the ones that I had, to the farm when I moved there. And it was there until the house burned down.
Wow.
You know, so...
okay, time to start over, I guess.
But that's, you know, that's another way to do it, is to just take the cutting. Now, I stuck mine in the ground in the fall, and they rooted over the winter. I don't know if it would work in the spring.
Pretty interesting that it rooted over the winter.
Yes, it did. It was. I thought it was very cool. And about half of them rooted. It was no work at all. Just stuck them in the...
Well, some days you do deserve a break, Peg.
Yes, some days. So that worked out. That worked out really well. But I was really planning on putting the Shasta daisies across the street, and they get eaten too. So... a valid point. So we'll see. But, you know, I'll stick some out there. If they get eaten, they get eaten. We'll see what happens.
Okay. All right. Well, good. Enjoy the rest of the day and have a good beginning for this new year. And that was really interesting about your games being postponed due to Jared's absence. But you had a little filler, so that was good.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jared and I do that together. And it's, you know, we have a conversation on Saturday. Did you do this? Did you do that? Did you find this? Did you find that? And he's, you know, I didn't. He's taken the weekend off, so.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. All right, so we will stay in touch, and thank you for calling, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Okay, so.
Beck Somerset.
Hey, Hey, Jack.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Can you hear me?
Now I can. You
okay.
Went blank.
I did? Okay, I'm here. So, taking down my Christmas tree today.
Oh, yeah, I was going to. I'm going to hold off until Thursday. That'll be the last time I can get around for a while. So I'll do it that day.
Oh, so big week then this week, huh?
Big Friday.
Okay.
Big Friday.
Okay, well.
All prepped. All ready for it, mentally.
Okay. All right, good. So,
So I'm out here walking or getting ready to walk Marley through the Christmas trees to take a count on what we actually sold and what has to be removed and stumps and everything. So we got a busy week this week.
So you dig out the stumps?
No. No, we will dig a hole and put a seedling right next to it.
Okay. All right.
And we put an X in it. People always ask, put an X in it for obvious reasons. It'll just rot out faster like that, and it'll decompose, and the ground will be very nice around it in a couple of years. The next one grows, and we just do that cycle.
When you say X, you like you saw an X across the top, like so that it has.
Exactly. Take the chainsaw tip and just put a little X in the top of it.
Okay.
It also tells us how many trees we cut this year. Is this a fresh cut?
I see. Do you have an idea of how many you cut?
I think we did close to 150, 160 trees in the field this year.
Wow.
Which was a pretty good, yeah.
That's a lot of trees.
Yeah, and we're a little thin, but we're out there pruning and fertilizing, and we'll irrigate some of them this year to see if we can push some new growth on them to get some size out of them, because trees are getting very scarce. They're even telling me for next year, cut trees are going to be scarce again. I hope they're wrong.
So how long does it take you to get a tree from a transplant to a saleable size?
I want to say 8 years, but it's probably more. It's probably closer to 10 before it really is a nice tree.
And how much pruning do you do? Do you prune every tree every year?
Oh, exactly. And sometimes twice a year. We're almost... This week we'll be finished doing the pruning of the existing trees, and then we'll fertilize, and then around June we'll come back and go through each one with a hand shears and, you know, doctor them up a little bit and make them more beautiful, especially your tree.
Well, I've had two perfect trees in a row, so obviously whatever it is you're doing right, so that's good. When you say in the summer you use hand pruners, do you use anything else?
A lot of people have power shears, those big 6-foot power shears they put on their backs and just walk around the trees. I do everything by hand, just a little Falco hand pruner to every tree.
I don't have any power pruning tools. Well, that's not true. I have one electric battery-operated hand pruner that my son bought me to go easy on my hands. But generally speaking, I use a small... I prefer to use a ratchet pruner just because that gives me a little extra strength. But I do all my pruning by hand. It's actually less work in the long run.
It really is, and it does a better cut. It gives you a clean cut, and then you wipe it off between trees with alcohol so you don't transfer any disease. And, you know, it's very scientific. There's a lot more work in it. People just think you get a tree and it just grows by itself, and it's all money. It's all profit. Not the, as you well know.
No, definitely not. But, yeah, but hand pruning is the way to go. As soon as you start shearing things, you create more work for yourself. I know people don't seem to understand that, and I tried to explain that to a customer of mine that brought me in as a consultant, and he didn't believe me. He said, well, all the commercial guys come out and they prune with electric pruners. And I'm like, well, yeah, because as soon as they start growing again, they're going to need to be pruned again. I said, it's easier and quicker for them, and it guarantees that they're going to have more work. So, yeah, that's why they do it. But that if you prune correctly and you take some of the branches, you know, a little bit more in the center and you shape it and you don't shear and have a nasty cut end on every surface where it's going to resprout from, you'll have a prettier tree and a healthier tree and you won't have to prune it as often. People don't understand that. I don't know why that's so difficult.
You know, it's just like you walk around your home. I walk around the home and say, okay, this tree needs a little attention. Or this this one side might need a little take out. You know, you might look inside and see another leader coming up, and you don't want that. So you trim it out. It doesn't look good for that year, but it fills in, and it's beautiful. You know, I was in Nova Scotia years ago. You know how they prune all the Christmas trees?
How?
With machetes.
With machetes?
Yep. They can trim a tree, boom, boom, boom. That's how they get the perfect shape on all of them. They do it so quick, fast as I can walk, as fast as they can walk. I can't walk around a tree that fast.
Really?
Boom, 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 boom. Yep.
I'd like to see that someday.
I don't know if they do it anymore, but that's the way they used to do it.
Wow. Well, I'm
you learn something.
You can always learn something. I learn something every week on The Garden Show, for sure. You're going to try to get this all done this week?
I'm going to get all the... We put everything away. We dismantled all the Christmas tree paraphernalia. That's all away. And we're going to finish the work in the fields, and then I will have my hiatus for a little while. And Bernie will be here taking care of things as needed.
Okay. So, and you're going to plant new trees. When do you actually plant them?
They're supposed to come in late March or April. So
okay.
We'll get those in the ground the first 2 weeks of April, I think.
And how many seedlings are you planting?
We have 450 ordered. And hopefully they won't cut the order. I know they cut the sizes down already on me in November.
What do you mean?
You know, I like seedlings that are like 12 inches tall, 12, 15 inches tall.
Right. Because
it gives you a good start. You can see them. When you mow around them, they said, oh, now they're only 9 to 12. Well, 9 to 12, that's a small seedling. And I said, guys, you got to help me out here. I might not be around to sell these things.
Well, let's hope that's not the case.
You know, if they're so tiny, you got to, my gosh, or I won't know where I planted them. I won't remember where I planted them.
I have a slightly sad story to tell you about that. When I first bought my farm in... 1991, it was an open field. There was nothing there. There was a row of Christmas tree, of fruit trees along the driveway and a row of dying evergreens to the side of them to create a little bit of privacy. But they were all Scotch pines and they had that disease, that tip light disease.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all that was on my property. So... since it had been a bigger farm and was divided into smaller pieces, I wanted to plant a row of evergreens along the side where they were building a house. There was my place was almost 10 acres, and there was a 3-acre plot next to me, and they were building a house. And so I planted a row of evergreens from seedlings. And what was interesting, the shape of my property was one side was perfectly perpendicular to the road, but the other side, the property was 100 feet wider in the back than it was in the front. So the property boundary went back at an angle. And so I went 10 feet in from the property boundary and planted, I think it was maybe 30 evergreens along the border, and we didn't have water that went out there, so we would take a wheelbarrow full of, you know, with buckets of water, and we would water each one individually, and they were there for about 3 years, and they all made it. They looked really good, and it was a mixture of evergreens, because I didn't want one kind. It was all different kinds, and and it was a lot of work to take care of them because I had done them from seedlings. We didn't have a lot of money. We were, you know, young and recently married and were struggling to get the farm going and all of that. So we put really young plants in. But after 3 years, they started to look like something. And lo and behold, I am in my backyard with my two best friends, and I see a bulldozer lifting up the trees and flipping them into the air.
Oh, no.
They, in order to build the house, they had to put in a raised septic system. So they needed to build up the ground where they were going to put the septic system. And the person on the bulldozer did not know that the property got wider in the back. And their property got narrower in the back. They took out the whole row of trees that I had been, that I had planted and had watered meticulously by hand for 3 years. I was beside myself. And they built the house, and it was a nice house, but it was raised up because of the septic system. So they had a bird's eye view of my backyard because it was behind my house and high up. So, and I never got along with those people because they did not believe me when all the trees came out. And,
well, how about the operator? The bulldozer operator.
Well, they I went running out there and told him to stop, and he stopped, but the damage was mostly done. And they went and checked with the town and said that I was right. And they had said at the time that they would replace them, that the builder and the people who did that would replace them, but they never did. And so when I told the new people that lived next door that that's what happened and that I was still owed these trees, they got all indignant and we never became friends.
Oh, that's a terrible story.
I know. Oh, but I know how much work goes into getting those trees established. And it's a tremendous amount of work. And I mean, if you have a hose, that makes it easier. But, you know, the property was very deep. It was hundreds of feet deep because it was 10 acres. So it was really deep. And there was no way
well,
I was
years
gonna
and years ago,
we
put a commercial well in the back, probably in the late 80s, and put underground lines throughout the place. So it's only a matter of like 200 feet from any place to get water, which is good. But we had a similar situation. You talk about not a bulldozer, but we had the natural ones. Before we put up this deer fence, probably 8 or 9 years ago, the deer would come in right in like September, October when they start the rut and only pick like your tree. They would pick out that tree that you thought is so beautiful and just rub it to ruin it for like, it takes about 4 to 5 years to recover.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
So we had to put up the fence, and ever since we put the fence in and the cattle guard driveway in, we haven't had, I think we had one deer sneak in here somehow over the last 8 or 9 years.
In the first, say, 5 or 6 years that we were there, we had no wildlife. We had no trees, so there were no squirrels. There may have been rabbits, low-growing stuff, but it was completely open. We had the original property had been a 20-acre farm that was subdivided, and they had horses. So there was nothing, and before that, before the horses were cattle. So there was nothing on this 20 acres. And the people around me were developing a nursery, but most of their land was not planted yet. And the land that was closest to us, and then beyond that was a cemetery, and there was nothing there. So it was completely open. Across the street from me was a 125-acre field of field crops. So there was nothing there. And at the end of my street was the Assanpink. So there was a ton of deer in there, but they stayed there because they didn't like the open spaces until the nursery started to grow. And then it provided
what
cover.
Was it? Do you remember the name?
Of the nursery?
Yeah.
Not off the top of my head. It, I mean, he was my neighbor for years, and he was a really nice guy. But, don't remember it right now. But the nursery started to develop, and then they started planting closer and closer to my house. And then we started to occasionally see deer. But I never had a problem. I had more of a problem with foxes because I didn't have a problem with foxes early on because there wasn't anything out there. But when there started to be cover, the foxes started to take my chickens. But for the first few years, there wasn't anybody. And I never had deer. I never had deer because I had donkeys.
Yep.
and that worked really well. But we did have foxes that came that weren't there earlier. We had squirrels that weren't there earlier, and most bizarre of all, we had a mink. We had a mink.
Oh.
We had a
It was neat.
It was very neat, but and I have pictures of it. But that was the only time in my entire life that I thought a mink coat was a good idea.
Very nice. Very now, nice.
It's true. That mink took 4 chickens a day for 4 days.
Oh, boy.
And the mink only weighs 4 pounds. And they're in the weasel family. They have big, fluffy tails. But the male mink hunts for sport. And one mink does not need to eat 4 chickens. And it would just leave them there. It would just kill them and leave them there. And so we finally caught it in a have-a-heart trap after we, like, redid the coops to some degree to try to help keep them out. And we drove him very, very, very far away. And they smell, too. They smell like skunks. Did you know that?
I remember hearing some facts about that, but I was not aware of that.
They don't spray like skunks, but they smell like skunks. And so we had, and when I called the animal control person in my town, he said, "We don't have minks around here." He said, "I've hunted in those woods my whole life, and we don't have minks around here." And I took a picture of it.
People that know, you know, think they know everything like that.
But it was definitely a mink. And it was, you know, a beautiful thing. You know, its tail was gorgeous. Most weasels have skinny tails, but this in the weasel family has a big, giant, fluffy tail. But, so we had a mink. We caught the mink. The chickens were happy that we caught the mink.
Well, we still have a lot of deer around here. They walk the perimeter of my fence looking in. And they can't get in, thank goodness. But again, when my mom and dad and grandparents bought this property back in the late 30s, I guess, it was just farm field, just like you were saying about your home. And it was just 12 acres of flat land, farmland. And then, you know, we developed the one house and the other buildings on the outbuildings and then the turkey coops and things. And one year back in the 70s, at nighttime, I heard the turkeys probably in August flapping around, which they normally don't do. And I didn't think anything of it. Turn the lights on, nothing. Next morning, I went down there. Something had gotten into the coop and killed about 21 of these turkeys. You know, they're half the size. They're probably 10 or 12 pounds. Just left them there. Just killed them and left them inside the building just for sport.
Yeah, there are some, you know, some creatures that do that. Man is not the only one that does that. I don't like any of them, including the men that do that. Some critters do hunt for sport. And the minks, maybe you had a mink. Who knows?
Could be,
because they definitely do
that. But there
are
no minks around here.
All right, my dear. It's always a pleasure. Good luck with your surgery on Friday. I will be thinking of you. And are you going to be home? How long are you going to be out?
I don't know yet. It's up in the air. We'll find out on Friday afternoon.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck.
All right. I'll talk to you soon.
I will keep
Happy
you in my
year
thoughts.
Again.
Happy New Year. All right. Bye-bye, Jay.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Well, there's a couple of things. We had such a great conversation with Jack that I had wanted to talk about the seed catalog. My favorite seed catalog has arrived. And those of you who may be interested, it is Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds. I love, they have some really, really cool stuff. If you want to go to their website, it is www.rareseeds.com. That is their website. And they have a wonderful selection of plant material. Do we need to take a break? Okay, so we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we are going to talk a little bit about winter sowing, which is something that's S-O-W-I-N-G, which is something that one of my listeners wrote to me about and asked that I discuss, which we will do as soon as we get back from this.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. The education assistance I received made it possible for me to be the first person in my family to go to school and graduate debt-free. That education helped get me to the first day at my dream job. a job that I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job, plus the other benefits possible from the Army National Guard, helped me become a first-time homeowner. Also, part of my role as a National Guard soldier means I know that I can be one of the first to respond and help my community if disaster ever strikes. I'm extremely proud that I get to serve my community, and that first step I took by joining the Army National Guard has made all the difference in my life. Talk to your local recruiter or visit NationalGuard.com to find out what firsts are available to you in the Army National Guard.
Sponsored by the New Jersey Army National Guard. Aired by the New Jersey Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Rutgers Sports Network from Learfield.
Driving on Watkins, get caught underneath, but the reverse goes in.
Catch the action.
Floating to the basket and dunking it down with two hands. Whoa. Rutgers back in front by 10.
All season long.
Step back three for the lead. Yeah! With 1.1 to go.
On your home for Scarlet Knights basketball.
Rutgers hosts Michigan January 4th at 7 p.m. Brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health, JFK Medical Center, Derby Appliances, and Magyar Bank.
We are Bosworth!
And now the Fox Sports New Jersey weather forecast. A cloudy, damp start this morning with areas of fog, and we will have a few showers today, but very mild, 55 to 60. The showers end by evening, then turning much colder overnight, 25 to 30. Maybe a few flurries Monday morning, otherwise partly to mostly sunny and colder, only 30 to 35. I'm WeatherWorks meteorologist John Leo on Fox Sports New Jersey.
The new Talk Radio 1450 WCTC, the voice of Central Jersey. The Garden Show with Peggy Ballester Howells.
Welcome back to The Garden Show. The Garden Show on 1450 WCTC is brought to you in part by Barty Farms, now over 117 years old and still growing. All right, so Lynn wanted me to talk about winter sowing, which is something that you can do that's fun. It's a little early to try to do it now, but not out of the question if you have, with the weather being the way it's been, and if you have a protected nook. But the idea is to grow things in containers with a cover. So what's commonly used are milk jugs, the gallon milk jugs, and you cut them across. You want to have at least 4 inches. You cut them like right below where the handle is, and you cut them all the way around, but you leave a little bit as a hinge so you can tip it up and tip it back. And then you put holes in the bottom, and then you fill it with potting soil or seed starting soils, even better. And you want to make sure you have drainage. And then you sow your seeds in the container, and you put the top back down, and you put it outside in a protected nook, and that will allow you to have seed germination and things growing in these mini greenhouses. Now, clearly, if the weather gets bitter cold, you're going to have to bring them inside, but there are some advantages. Some seeds that you sow need what's called stratification, and that is exposure to cold in order for them to germinate. Some perennials in particular need stratification in order to bloom. So this works really well for that. I don't think it's as effective for the warm weather crops, although you can get your seeds started a little bit earlier, but then you need to transplant them and you need them to grow on, and that you still need to be able to protect them. But what I think this kind of fun project is good for is the cooler crops. You can grow lettuces in a container like this and have make fresh salads for yourself, or you can grow microgreens. Other things that are cold tolerant, and not so much things that need to produce flowers and fruit, but kind of more leafy things. Spinach would do great in a container like this. Spinach is actually hardy enough that it will survive our winters and come back in the spring. Commercial production of spinach often includes sowing of the seed in August, allowing overwintering, and that way you get a nice early crop commercially in the spring. So certainly spinach would be a good thing that you could grow in some of these containers with an early start for fun. Radishes do really well because radishes do not grow very deep, and you can grow radishes. And one of the things that's fun about radishes is that you can eat the foliage when it's young and throw that in a salad. Arugula would do well in these containers. So these are fun things that you can try. The milk jugs are one thing that you can use, but you can try other things as well. I have a cat now, and I have the kitty litter bottles, containers, big plastic, and those would be even bigger than a milk jug, and they would work really well. So give some thought to that, and if anybody has any questions, we can talk about it next week. And Lynn, thank you for the idea of talking about this. And I think that wraps things up. Dave, thank you for joining us and helping out today.
Thanks for having me.
Have a great new year. I will be here next week, same time, same place, and Jared will be back. So until then, have a good one. Bye-bye.
Get more than just the scores.
We are
the all-new Fox Sports New Jersey.
Fox Sports New Jersey.